morning, church. It is an honor and a pleasure to be before you and to stand with you today. Let's see if we get this right. Yeah. All right, let me stand here because I'm nervous. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. And I want to first say thank you to Brother Turnipseed for the wonderful way you have greeted me and treated me and for the wonderful introduction. Thank you, sir. God bless you. I reached out to him and a couple of other men last night and just asked them to pray as we were preparing for this day. And I want to thank you for your prayers. The presence of the Lord is here. To Andrews Chapel, your leaders, officers, members, friends, and those that just came to see what's going on today. I hope you come back. Don't let this be the last time. To so many friends that I've met along the way here, many years ago, as some of you remember when I was at Georgia State singing with the Georgia State Community Gospel Choir, Connie and a whole host of friends, Connie Starr back then, we just sang everywhere and came here and sang a few times as well. And some of you I've met along the way. I want to thank you for receiving me today and especially my family. I would be remiss. I would not be able to go back home. I would just mess up Father's Day if I did not. First, I want to introduce you to my family, to my girlfriend. She's here today. And Natalie, would you stand? Natalie is just, she's the love of my life, apple of my eye, cream in my coffee. Yeah. Sugar and cream and everything. My pastor once told me it's a poor dog that won't. Yeah. So, Natalie, thank you. We have two daughters that aren't here. Courtney just got married. Courtney Etheridge got married April 1st, so she is not with us this morning. I think Courtney actually had to work. She works for Norfolk and Southern. And every now and then, I mean really every now and then, they give her a day off, but not very many. And she took most of those for the wedding and honeymoon in April, so she's not with us. And then there's Kristen, beautiful, lovely, intelligent, bright, energetic. Kristen is living in D.C. She works with the Washington Wizards and the Mystics organization. And I think when she's leaving here, going out to the West Coast to be with the Mystics out there, they've got a West Coast tour they're playing out there. Kristen, please stand up. I love this girl. This young lady right here, she's special. She's special. And you know, some fathers would say something about if you're interested in meeting her, but I'm not going to say that. I won't say that. And then there's Beverly. Beverly isn't here this morning. Beverly lives here with us. She graduated from Howard a few years ago, but she's working here in town with Bell South, AT&T. And so she's, I don't think I saw Beverly unless she slipped in late. She's not here. Then we have twins. There's Donald, who is finishing his first year at Morehouse. He's a Morehouse man, just finished his first year. Handsome young man. He is bright and intelligent, studying aerospace engineering, and he doesn't need a girlfriend. He doesn't need a girlfriend. He doesn't need a girlfriend. He has a job, graduating from Morehouse. That's his job. Amen. Amen. And did very well. I think they made mostly all A's, maybe a B or something for this year, but all A's. And then his twin sister, our other twin, and she's just as lovely, just as intelligent and bright and sweet. And that's Denisha. Denisha, please stand. She is in her first year at Georgia State University, and she was an all-A student, and we thank God for her. Donald, you stand up too. Amen. Those are the twins. Praise God. Now, anybody that knows me, and if you don't, you'll find out. I love my family. I love my family. Really, the only thing I wanted for Father's Day was just to have my family around me. And I'm not saying that you don't have to take me out. What I'm saying is, I'm just saying that I would be happy just being at home with my family, because I love my family. God, we are a blended family. God has blessed us. And I tell you what, I don't think that there's any man that's more blessed in the world than me. I just thank God for all of his blessings. Well, I didn't come here to talk about myself today. We're starting a new thing, a new time, and God is doing a new thing. And so I want to encourage you every Sunday, join us. We're going to just serve the Lord and do what the Lord says do. There's one thing I know, and that is when you follow Jesus, you won't make any mistakes if you follow him. Amen. Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. We've heard the reading of the scripture today, and we read, that was a long passage from Exodus that we read. It was so long. And thank God for that. Thank God for that wonderful reading. Thank God for all of these wonderful men. Let's show these men our love and appreciation today. Praise the Lord. Wow, they are singing, they are praying, they are spirit-filled, and I thank God just, I feel the power of the Spirit here with us. I feel the power of the Lord. Yeah. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I can feel it in the atmosphere. Oh, the presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. Oh, the power of the Lord is here. I can feel it in the atmosphere. Hey, the power of the Lord is here. Oh yeah, the power of the Lord is here. It says right here in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, it says right here that then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee in the 14th verse, chapter 4, St. Luke. And a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. That's St. Luke chapter 4, looking at the 15th verse now. And he began to teach in their synagogues, and he was praised by everyone. And now in verse 16 of chapter 4 of St. Luke, if you'll stand, I'll read a few verses. All that are able. Oh Lord. St. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And when he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. Somebody say he went to church.
He went to church.
And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the congregation were fixed on him. And then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And that same Holy Spirit that filled Jesus that day also then touched the lives of the church in Acts chapter 6. And in that passage that was read, we hear these words, "Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer. And now, O Lord, may the thoughts of our hearts and the meditation of our mind be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our Spirit and our Redeemer. Let the church say, amen. All right, thank you so much. Don't stop, I got something for you. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. Yeah, yes. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone. You thought I was worth saving. Oh, so you came and changed. You thought I was worth keeping. Oh, you sacrificed your life. You thought I was to die for. So you, so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory to the God who changed my life. And I will praise you, I will serve you, I will lift you up, because so I can be, so I can be, so I can tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. You cleaned me up inside. Thought I was to die for. Listen, listen. Thought I was to die for. You loved me so much. Thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free. Bless the Lord. Look at someone and find a neighbor, someone on the left or the right. Take them by the hand and say to them, neighbor, where are the men? Turn to someone on the other side, either in front or in back, and say, friend, where are the men? But don't leave me out. Look this way and say, pastor, where are the men? Then say, let's see. Since the beginning of creation, God has been asking this question. Where are the men? Even from the beginning in Genesis and chapter 3, we see God conducting a clever inquiry with Adam in the garden. From there, we hear God talking with Adam, even to the book of Acts in chapter 6, where God commands the church to select from among themselves seven men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. You see, God was looking for men. And even in the passage that I just read from the Gospel of St. Luke, where Jesus, though through mighty declaration, invites the church to stand up for Christ, God has been asking and seeking men and women who will impact the world through Christ, who strengthens us. Brothers and sisters, today God is once again calling us to impact our world, to transform the world for Christ as Christian men and women. Here God speaks directly to Adam in Genesis and says to him, where are you? A careful study of the Bible clearly reveals that when God, the creator of the universe and all creatures that dwell therein, wanted to relate to mankind, he chose not to do so from a distance, but he always comes close. He took on human form, went for a walk among the creatures, and personally got involved in their lives. God chooses to enter into our lives today, into the life of the world, and personally to relate to us. He comes directly to man and deals with our sin, for God does not leave us. No, he comes close to us. And in the garden, when the man and the woman heard the footsteps of God coming to them, God called out, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? So men, women, just as God asked Adam in the garden, I'm asking this morning, this Father's Day, where are the men? In Acts chapter 6, when the church was under attack from those who complained within and those who complained without, anybody know that there are some folk that complain on the inside? It's not my Sunday to serve. Why you're asking me, it's not my Sunday to teach. There are some that complain on the inside, and you know what? Sometimes the enemies of God are on the inside. They serve on the board. They sing in the choir. They ursha. Can I say ursha? But if you've been to school, I'll say they usher. But no, we understand. They urge you sometimes. Sometimes the devil sits in the pews, and sometimes he stands in the pulpit preaching prosperity, blessings, materialism, and me, myself, and I. When the church was under attack and God was ready to impact the world through men of character and faith, he chose to come to them and to come to us. He said to them that day, find seven men full of the Spirit. So Andrew's Chapel, just as the Spirit asked the church that day, I'm asking us this Father's Day, this morning, this men's day, where are the men? In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was ready to impact the world and transform the world through faith, he walked into the church that day and read from the passage that we know as Isaiah, saying, the Holy Spirit is upon me, and God has anointed me to bring you the good news. I ask you today, Andrew's Chapel, where are the men? In these times of tragedy, turmoil, trouble, and tribulation, the question becomes more and more relevant. In a time when our communities are ravaged and devastated with violence, with murders, with rapes, and with destruction, we need to know, where are the men? In these days of terror, because of men like Omar Martin in Orlando, and tragedy like the nine who were murdered at Emmanuel AME Church just a year ago. We were in annual conference, some of you will remember, down in Athens when we received the news on June 17th that there had been that murder, that tragedy had taken place. We find ourselves in a world with trouble like that presented by the belligerent, arrogant, egotistical, xenophobic, intolerant, hate-spewing, divisive Donald Trump. Can we make this thing clear? Whom many, and the crazy thing is that you better be careful, because he could be the next president. Because there's some crazy folk in this world. There's some crazy folk that want their country back as though somebody stole their lollipop. Today I ask us, where are the men? Where are the men who are willing to take a stand against the injustices we face, against racial injustice, against unequal opportunity and downright hatred? You see, they are so belligerent about wanting our president to call them. Why won't he say? Yeah? Why won't he call them radical Islamic terrorists? They want him to just utter it, say radical Islamic terrorists, but they won't stand up and say Donald Trump is speaking racist words, inciting racism and bigotry. They want somebody to speak hate over there, but they won't call it what it is right at home. Where are the men when just a few years ago, George Zimmerman murdered Trayvon Martin, Darren Wilson murdered Michael Brown, and Sandra Bland was found hanging in a cell in Walker County, Texas. The world saw it. America saw it. Florida, Missouri, and Texas saw it. The Republicans saw it. The police saw it. Democrats saw it. You and I saw it. But has anyone really done anything? Where are the men? Where are the fathers, the mentors, and teachers and leaders? Where are men, Donald, like Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays, who committed himself to training and uplift of a campus of young black men who have a commitment to faith, family, education, and their community? Where are the men who will rise up and put an end to this chaos and confusion? I know that they're out there, but they need to stand up. They need to speak up. They need to show up. We need men who will invest in our young boys. Tell them they can be somebody. Tell them that they are somebody. They don't have to hang their pants down to get attention. Tell them that they can make it, that they can be whatever they want to be. Help them reach their goals. Tell them stop sagging so much. I mean, you know, when you're black, you just got swag, so you got to have your swag. Let them sag a little bit, but just a little bit. That's right. When you say swag, look at somebody and say, I got it. Uh-huh. Swag. I was born black. I got it. Yeah, I woke up this morning black. I've got it. I'm in a church full of black men. We got it. Brothers, say swag. Yeah, yeah, swag. That's kind of what Jesus had. He had swag. When he showed up that day at the church, he walked in and said, hand me Isaiah. And he began to read. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What Jesus said is, I got swag. Yes, sir. Sisters, it might be Father's Day, but look at somebody and say, I got it too. Yes, yes. We need men that will tell the rappers to stop sexualizing our women and tell the haters to stop hating. Where are the men? We need men who will teach our boys how to become more responsible men. We need men who will teach our young men that it's all right to be young and black and in church. Amen, somebody. It was years ago, a few years ago, I heard 50 Cent say, you can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. And every young man wanted to be in the club with a bottle full of bub. But I want you to know, it's cool to be in church. Look here, with swag, that's right. It's good to be in church. Because young men and young women need to know that it's all right to praise the Lord. It's all right to put your hands together. It's all right to say amen. It's all right to say praise the Lord. It's all right to say thank you, Jesus. It's all right to glorify him. It's all right to give him praise. It's all right to lift him up. It's all right to call his name. You ought to call his name. Don't, I know I'm right about that. I know somebody woke up this morning, didn't know where they were. Somebody woke up this morning, they weren't in their right mind. They didn't know the same person that they had lived with, married to for 40 or 50 years, but they woke up this morning and couldn't even call that person's name. But here you are this morning, clothed in your right mind. Here you are this morning. God has made a way for you. Here you are this morning. Come through dangers, seen and unseen dangers. It's all right to be in church. There's some young black men that died last night. Some of them lost their lives on the streets of this world. It's all right because God kept you safe. God brought you through. And here you are. You ought to give him praise. Just look at somebody and say, it's a man thing. Look at somebody and say, it's a woman thing. Just look at somebody and say, it's God's thing. That's really it. It's not about me. It's not about you. But it's all about the Lord. We were created to impact the world. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes we may wish that God was impartial. That God was uninterested in our lives. But that isn't the God we serve. Did you see? I was watching a baseball game. Love baseball. Watching a game. Did you see that game a few nights ago? There was this game where it was down in the ninth inning, two out, bases loaded, one run separating the home team. The home team is losing. Better walks up to the plate. And when he walked up to the plate, He looked out on the mound, and the pitcher looked in and got the sign, the batter called time, and he stepped out of, and then out of the batter's box, he put his bat down, and he knelt down on one knee. And he prayed. And then he got back up, and he got in the batter's box. And the pitcher looked in, and then he stepped out and called time. And the pitcher knelt down, and he prayed. And then got back up, and he stepped back on the mound. And the batter called time one more time. He just stepped out and said, "You don't have to worry about this one. Stay out of it. Stay out of it." But that's not who we serve. We serve a God that cares about everything that happens to us. He cares about us on our jobs, and he cares about us in our homes. We serve a God that cares about everything that happens in our schools with little Johnny when he's not learning to read. God cares about that little child. He cares about us on the playground when our children are out there and some of them are bullies and there's danger from drugs and violence. God really cares. I know this is right because David said, "Look, if I could have the wings of a dove, I would fly away. But if I fly away, God is everywhere." He said, "If I make my bed in the depths of the sea, God will find me there. If I fly away on the wings of the morning, God will find me there." There's no place that we can hide from God because he cares about everything. And because God cares, he also wants us to make a difference today. And if we want to have an impact in the world for Jesus, let me share two things right now and I'll be done. If we want to have an impact in this world for Jesus, first of all, we've got to know who we are. Sometimes I wonder if the church has lost its mind and we've forgotten who we really are. Sometimes we show up at God's house thinking that we're coming to get something, and you're not coming to get something when you come before the Lord. Really, you got to understand this thing. When God created us, he created us that we would praise his holy name. Somebody missed that. Let me see if I can go back. You remember, you all will remember Bishop Henderson, Bishop Cornelius Henderson. Grew up with him over in Covington. You had him here for a while. Remember, one of the wonderful things, one of his favorite sayings was this: worship is a verb. Worship is a verb. Worship is what you do. It's not what you go to get. Worship is what you come before the Lord to give God. You give God glory. We give God honor. We give God praise because you didn't wake yourself up this morning. Oh, I got that right. I know you set your alarm clock. Look at your cell phone and just hit the button and see what time it is. You didn't wake yourself up this morning. God woke us up this morning. And if you think that that clock going off or your phone ringing woke you up, let's go across down the street a couple of blocks over to the cemetery and let's let them all go off. The phone didn't wake you up. Your spouse didn't wake you up. Your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your boo, your sweet thing didn't wake you up. It was the Lord that woke you up this morning. It was the Lord that kept us all last week. It was the Lord that protected our home. It was the Lord that clothed us in our right mind. It was the Lord that gave us health and strength. It is the Lord. You got to know who you are. If you want to have an impact in this world, we have to know who we are. And then you better understand one thing. We didn't come to stay here forever. Some of us show up at God's house like we've got power and authority over God. Baby, you can't tell God to do anything. He's God all by himself. It tickles me sometimes. I have been there before. Lord, I need an answer by Friday noon because I've got to tell. I need to know something by Thursday. God, you need to, am I going to this school or that school? They need to send that announcement by next Wednesday. And God just laughs because he's like, you're not in charge. You don't give the blessings out. I'm the one that gives out blessings. I'm God all by myself. We must remind ourselves daily that we have but one life to live, and we live it 1 minute at a time. Donald, Dr. May said, I've only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it, forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give an account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Dr. Mays understood that when you run out of time, God still has time. That when you think it can't be done, God can do anything but fail. When you've heard them pronounce the benediction on your dreams and your goals for life seem like they will never be achieved, God still is able to show up in the twinkling of an eye. God is able. I wish I had somebody. You have to know who we are. But if we want to have an impact in this world, one more thing I need to share with you. If we want to have an impact in this world, then we must know who Jesus is. Because there's some of us that don't know, and I'm not putting anybody down. Some of us don't know whether we're men or women. That's just how it is. Some of us don't know whether we're up or down. And even when you don't know, but if you still know Jesus. The reason I say I'm not putting anybody down, I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in, send you to. And look, I can preach a wonderful eulogy, but if you haven't given your life to Jesus, it won't matter what I say. Can we keep it 100? Can we keep that thing 100? Somebody say, preacher, back that thing up. I'm coming back again. It matters not if you stumble and fall or make a mess of your life. Anybody in here know there have been times I felt I'd made a mess of my life and that there just was no hope for tomorrow. But you know, it was nobody but Jesus. It was the grace of God that when I had fallen down. Do anybody know that Jesus has a stoop and scoop ministry? When we fall down, he'll stoop and scoop us up. When we've messed up, he'll come along and pick us up and turn you all around and then place your feet back on solid ground. If you want to have an impact in this world, we need to know Jesus as men of God. And that's why I'm so glad just to be with you today. Man, I just want to challenge you. Sometimes I wonder if we as men and as God's people have forgotten who he is. We've become so cool. We're too cool to clap sometimes. We're too cute to cry. We're too dry to dance. We're too selfish to shout. We're too arrogant to say amen. And we're too puffed up to praise the Lord. We need men and women who will find the time to do what's right. Can you find the time to do what's right? Men, I know you can find time to party, but can you find time to pray and praise God? I know, Andrews Chapel, that we can stand to be poor, but can we stand to be rich and still be kind? I know that we can be uneducated and still be streetwise, but can we be educated and still be humble and useful to God?
I know that we can live in a shack and still be clean, but can you live in a mansion and still be humble and hospitable? I know that we can live, oh Lord, we can live in Jonesboro and still feel safe, but can we live in Buckhead up in the ATL and not forget where God has brought us from? We need to remember who Jesus is. God will never allow us to forget that the Lord, He is God, and He is God all by Himself. That's why He stepped down through 40 and two generations.